Alan and Dale and the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySpiel.com, and with me, as always, is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. Say hello, Ramin.
How is everyone doing out there? Great to be with you, Kyle, for another podcast, this time playoff time.
Yes, yes, sir. We are going to break it down for you since we're in the state tournament. We are going to do an exclusive girls podcast and then a boys podcast. And right now you are tuned in to the girls version of the podcast. There is a lot to cover. State tournament just started last week, and I want to jump right into it, Ramin. So how does that sound?
Oh, that sounds great with me.
Perfect.
Go right into a first-round recap. And we'll work our way. This time we'll go back to our bit more traditional 7A down to 1A. And in 7A, it was pretty status quo, not many upsets, but Duluth did win at Newton 66-54.
You are correct. Duluth actually beat Newton earlier in the season in December, 49-42. So I guess it shouldn't come as much of a surprise. Duluth is on pretty hot coming out of that Region 6, even though they did slip and only get the 3 seed. They're 5-1 in their last 6 games. They kick-started that with a January 31st victory over Collins Hill, 48-44. So that really got them moving in the right direction. And India Banks, a 5'9 guard, she is signed to play at Miami down in Florida, and she had 20 points in their 66-54 win over Newton. So that was a very good win for Duluth. Newton's a tough team. Lexi Chapman, they got some shooters, good guard play. But Duluth is definitely trending in the right direction.
And we'll keep it going down on to 6A. Gainesville lost 54-53 to River Ridge in a close one.
You're right about that. Yes, River Ridge over in my neck of the woods in Cherokee County. We are representing, I would say. They survived 28 points from Taylor Hawks, who has been a great scorer and a great leader over there for Gainesville. But River Ridge had just enough juice. Faith Arthur had 23 points in that game. Lexi Palmer did it inside and outside with 15 points and 8 rebounds. So that was a very nice win for Cherokee County, knocking off Gainesville. And another little matchup I wanted to touch on with that, Region 5 versus Region 7. I was saying Region 5 is top-notch to catch me out, but Region 7 really hung in there tough with them, of course. Region 7, number one seed Northview, handled South Paulding quite easily, won that game by around 20 points or so. But then if you want to look at the Region 5 number one seed, and that is taking a look at Douglas County, who number one in the state, they had their hands full with Pope. It was a high-scoring affair. I believe it ended up being 84-74 against Pope. That is a surprising result right there. Pope not known for pouring in the points like they did, but they gave Douglas County all they could handle. I heard they shot the three ball very well, and if you get hot from beyond the arc, really anything can happen. And the same thing goes with Alpharetta versus Mays. That was a 58-54 game. Mays was just a little bit better to slip by Alpharetta, but that was surprising considering how Mays has really played extremely well until the region tournament where they slipped up and fell to New Manchester. But Mays, a very good team that only won by 4 points against Alpharetta. And then that final throwback game right there, Chattahoochee versus New Manchester, 30-19. Low-scoring defensive struggle, it sounded like. Sienna Gore had 15 of the team's 30 points for Chattahoochee. So the Cougars are moving on to the second round. So Region 7 really held their own, went 2-2 against Region 5. And that's a really good look for that region who we've kind of questioned throughout the season, but they really stepped up big when it mattered most, and they hung in tough with a good region.
Yeah, of course, me being your Region 7 guy, that's something I've been watching, the matchups. And I got to say, the Chattahoochee score really surprised me, even having watched film on New Manchester. Such a low-scoring affair kind of caught me off guard. Nevertheless, down to 5A, Loganville lost 50-47 to Lithia Springs.
Yes, Loganville is a team that never quite got its footing. John Zorn is a great coach over there. They've played a lot of teams really tough and a defensive-minded group that really likes to grind you out in low-scoring games. I mean, I believe they picked up a win over Winder Barrel earlier in the season, which is as good as advertised because Olivia Nelson-Odell was healthy back then. But Loganville goes down 50-47 against Lithia Springs. Kiana Johnson was just a little too much for Lithia Springs. She had 18 points in that game. Demaria Hines, 12 points. Angelique Mabry, 12 points as well. So that was a great showing right there from Lithia Springs to knock off a battle-tested and a very stingy, defensive-minded Loganville team. And elsewhere in that region, or in that classification, Arabia Mountain beat Villarica 52-45. So Villarica's season ends with a 25-4 record, a very tough pill to swallow. They were in the top 10 for pretty much the entire season, but Arabia Mountain did what they had to do. They held the Asia Merrill to just 19 points, and she's a girl that can go off for 30 points any single night for Villarica. So Arabia Mountain, the Rams did a great job on her. And Arabia Mountain, they could be tough. They could be tough in the next round. They're very tested over there in that Region 5. They only have 5 losses on the season, but 3 of those losses came to Southwest DeKalb, the reigning and defending state champion. So that's a team that has really played up to competition. And, I mean, you take out those losses of Southwest DeKalb, they look like they're about 20-2 right now. So Arabia Mountain, very dangerous moving on into the Sweet 16.
We talked leading up in our bracketology in the podcast before that in the playoffs, it's a new world. You know, you only have one game to win or lose, and 4A proved that. 14-14 on the season, Madison County defeated Heritage Catoosa, who was 25-4 on the season, 48-45.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Looking at that Region 6, North Georgia, I always have a little soft spot in my heart for those North Georgia teams. But boy, when they get out of that region, anything goes. In Madison County, they took it to them. You mentioned it, only 14-14 overall. It's a 500 record against a team that was booming all year long. But a surprising fact here, the Generals, they finished the season on a 2-game losing streak, and that is tough to stomach. When you got 4 losses on the entire year and 2 of them come back-to-back and your season's over, a foreboding sign. When they went down in the Region 6 championship, Northwest Whitfield, 72-49. They got blown out of that championship game, and it looks like they were not playing their best ball, and it came back to bit them in the first round, 48-45 against Madison County. That was a real tough one to stomach when you have 25 wins and you can't get out of the first round. But on that bottom right-hand quadrant, I mentioned America Sumter versus Cross Creek last week as being a great matchup. America Sumter was ranked number 2 in the state before they faltered in that Region 1 tournament and flipped all the way down to the 4 seed. And Cross Creek is the number 1 team in the state. And Cross Creek took care of business 60-51, but it was not easy. The Razorbacks had to outscore the Panthers 29-18 in the fourth quarter there. And, of course, the deciding factor, none other than Memphis signee Elena Davis. She is just a load on the low block. She can get whatever she wants. She had 24 points, was 9 of 11 from the field, collected 7 rebounds in the process. So she was just too much in the end there. America Sumter shot very well from the three-point line. They were 6 of 10. Jakiria Long had 22 points and was 5 of 8 from deep. But when you have a Division I signing down low that can just gobble up rebounds and finish with the best of them in the entire state, sometimes that's just way too much to handle. So Cross Creek survives a great first-round test, and I really love Cross Creek going on into the Sweet 16 where they're going to be playing LaGrange and then moving on forward. I think they have a pretty nice road to take a trip to the Final Four.
Keeping it moving down to 3A. Dawson County's in the Sweet 16 after a 1-7 start to the year.
Yes, yeah, Steve Sweat, he is a great coach over there. They've won a lot of games over the past few years. This year is a lot different from previous seasons where we were used to seeing them winning 24, 25 games and taking trips to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. But this year, they took their lumps. They don't have any seniors on that roster. 1-7 start. Really made me question these guys, saying, man, it looks like the dynasty could be over there in North Georgia. But they took care of business, getting rid of Lovett, 72-61 in the first round. They only have an 11-17 record right now, so the Tigers, they're still under 500. But they're playing very good ball right now, beating Lovett, a team from inside the perimeter there in Atlanta. It's always a good sign when you can take down a tough squad like that. Juniors Abby Chatham and Kaylee Sticker have really carried the load for Coach Sweat. And the Tigers, now they get into the difficult part of the tournament. While we're not going to be a favorite or anything like that, they're going to have to hit the road and go see Monroe, a tough team that spent a lot of time in the top 10. But you got to tip your cap to Dauphin County not folding after a 1-7 start and really playing well and getting to the Sweet 16. That's a great accomplishment for a young team.
Down to 2A, South Atlanta topped Banks County 68-62.
Yes, that's that's a tough one. Banks County, I like their team, a pretty spunky team, good ball movement, good size inside. They can score the ball and shoot a little bit from deep. But South Atlanta, only 12-11 on the season, 8-4 over on Region 6. But that Region 6 and Region 8, when you step out of Region 8 and you're matched up with Region 6, one of the most difficult to match up with athletically, that's just a whole nother ball game. The speed is a lot different. There's going to be some length. There's going to be some athleticism jumping out on you, trapping on you. So Banks County had a fine season, but South Atlanta, the Hornets, they got a little sting in them. They're playing much better than when they started out the season, and they rode that to a very nice first-round upset of Banks County.
And I think something that the 2A first round has showed us is that Region 6 is a bit more athletic than Region 8 is.
Yeah, that's South Atlanta just giving them problems, you know. Banks County's over there in Region 8. They fell in that championship game to Raven County, who we'll touch on later, who I really like. But it's just really tough when you're giving up that speed and quickness, and you might not have that lateral movement to be able to stand in front of these guards. And if you can't crash the glass and rebound and play not above the rim, but you know what I'm talking about, getting up there and earning second-chance points, blocking shots, sometimes it really hurts and really struggles when these teams come out of the north and they got to go down to Atlanta. And it's just a different caliber of talent and athlete and player down here.
Over in 1A, Fellowship lost to Aquinas 49-42.
Yeah, I was surprised about that one. Fellowship, they don't have the greatest record, but they have a girl named Cameron Swartz. She's going to Colorado. She's a commit. She's a very talented scorer. She's got some nice length as a guard on the perimeter. She can do a lot of things, great body control. But it wasn't enough for Aquinas to not knock off Fellowship. So Fellowship goes home with a 7-point loss. And then looking at that Class A public, Lanier County, 52, Mitchell County, 43. Now, that's not a historic upset or anything like that. That's a number 19 seed beating a number 14 seed. But Lanier County, they haven't been ranked all season long. But if you go back and look at it, they've won 8 of their last 9 games. That one loss was against Telfair County, who is the overall number 1 seed in the tournament. So Lanier's been playing good basketball down the stretch and have corrected some wrongs earlier in the season. They started 0-3, but they scheduled some very good competition. They played 3 state tournament teams. They lost to Berrien fairly close, got beat by Wayne County, and then got beat by Cook. And those are three schools that are bigger than them, and they played them fairly tough. Berrien, that one, was close. The other two games are a little more lopsided, but it looks like that tough scheduling is now coming to fruition, and Lanier County is going to be a dangerous team coming in the second round. But looking at the bracket right now, they play Pelham in the second round, and nobody wants to see Pelham, so I might have to take that back because Pelham is the team to beat, and Lanier County is going to have to play out of their minds to even hang around with Pelham.
And so for the second half of this playoff special, we're going to transition into the second round previews as for the ladies that could be coming up on Wednesday, or I guess in rare cases on Thursday. And I'm looking at the 7A bracket, lots of good games. What are two that you like, Kyle?
Yeah, well, we could start out with this Brookwood versus Colquitt game. Colquitt has to play better. They had North Cobb come down south, and they only beat North Cobb 49-48. That's a scary result. I mean, every win's a good win in the state tournament, but but they're going to have to play a lot better against Brookwood. Now, Colquitt's going to rely on two juniors, Anonica Downs and Diamond Hall. Downs, a good shooter, averages 23 points a game. Hall averages about 17 and 10 inside, so she does some important things inside. And she's going to have to play super big if they're going to want to stop Brookwood, who is, of course, led by Texas A&M's ID, Nadia Jones, 6'3". She was just all over the place this season, led Gwinnett County in rebounds, scoring, and almost in blocks. She was averaging 18.5 points, just under 13 rebounds, and a smidgen under 5 blocks per game. So she really just changes everything you want to do inside. Colquitt County is going to have to play extremely well to get past a team like Brookwood, who got that number 2 seed out of Region 7, has seen all the top customers over here in that Gwinnett County and Metro Atlanta area. So Colquitt County, it's going to be tough for them, but they're at home. Brookwood's got a long trip down there. They're going to have to really rely on the crowd and make it noisy in there, make it a really tough game for Brookwood. And on that top left-hand side of the bracket, Hillgrove versus Lambert. Hillgrove, they spent about a week in the top 10. They haven't necessarily taken off when you're stuck in that region with McEachern, who is just, they've won all those state titles for a reason. But it's very difficult to really break through. So they're about 6-4 in region play, I believe. But they're going to be traveling over to Lambert, who only has 2 losses on the year. But if Lambert wants to win, they're going to have to handle Hillgrove's great defensive pressure. Now, that's M.E. Craven, that's Molly Williams, that's Summer Edwards, all those guards. They're going to really have to be patient, handle the pressure, don't turn the ball over, and on offense, try to establish players in the post like Leah Cote and Jayla Green. They have some nice size that could probably give Hillgrove some fits, but it's all about limiting turnovers and not letting Hillgrove's run and jump defenses get under their skin too much. They're a veteran team, so they should be able to handle it, but I see that being a pretty good game.
Down to 6A, Harrison versus Tucker looks to be a good matchup.
Indeed it does. You're not lying, Ramin. Harrison's going to have to travel to Tucker, and Tucker is the defending state runner-up in the highest classification. Now, of course, we reclassified this year, so they're not in 7A. They're down to 6A. But that's going to be a good game. I like Harrison's guards. Harrison has some good size with their guards. Even though Sydney Wiggins, who knows if she's going to play or not, she's been just hampered with injuries all year long. It's been such a shame. She's going to Rice, and she's their best player, but she just has not been able to stay on the court. So if she's back healthy, that is a major plus for Harrison. But if not, they have more than enough to compete. I think they're going to have to be aggressive with their guards. That's Sarah Wilkerson and Mae Willis. I think they need to attack on offense. They're going to have bigger size than Tucker's guards. They're going to be a little more physical. If they can get downhill, I think they can open up some opportunities, get Tucker's big girls in foul trouble. And that also will open up some outside looks for Harper Vick and Audrey Jordan, who can shoot the three-point ball very well. But if you're Tucker, you have the size inside. You have Bria Bass, who's a very good senior that can play, does a lot of good things for them. And Amara Standard can also do good things inside. They're long, they're lean, they can alter a lot of shots if they're not necessarily blocking shots, and they can rebound very well. So if I'm Tucker, I got to rely on my two big girls to kind of carry the load defensively. And if I'm Harrison, I want to attack with my guards and then look for some open kickouts at the three-point line. And then another matchup down here, Lovejoy at Creekview. Lovejoy was really the team to beat all year long over in that region with Tucker, but Tucker ended up nipping them and ended up winning Region 4. So that sends them down to the number 2 spot. But they're going to have to travel over to Cherokee County, playing Creekview. Creekview is their battle test now. They beat Harrison to go and steal that Region 6 title, which is an impressive win. They're going to have to play good defense. Both teams really do rely on their good defense. Lovejoy is notorious. They win a lot of games playing in the 30s and 40s. And the straw that stirs the drink over there this year that has really changed everything for Cedric King's team is Genesis Bryant, a freshman point guard. She was first-team all-region in Region 4. She's one of the team's top leading scorers. She does a lot of good things out there, can get everybody involved. So she is a very tough customer. And if you're looking at Creekview, what they need to do, Allison Lilly, she's She's a Belmont signee. She's got good size to her. She averages 10 points and 10 rebounds inside. She's going to have to eliminate second chances for Lovejoy. And while on the other side of that, she's going to have to earn second chance opportunities for Creekview by hitting the glass. I think that's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be another grinder. And I really project that one to be a really close, good, hard contest to really pull out. But whoever wins that game is going to be looking good going into the next round. They're likely going to see either Grovetown or Chattahoochee. But if you get past a defensive-minded group like you're seeing in the second round, that's going to be a very positive sign for their team moving forward.
Taking it down to 5A in the girls' classification, Warner Robins takes on Columbia.
Yes. That is an interesting one, to say the least. Warner Robins versus Columbia and then Arabian Mountain versus Griffin. Those are two games that you could say might sneak them on upset alert now. Warner Robins is a very balanced team. They only have one loss. Kezia Holmes averaged 17 points per game. She was a region player of the year. She's a real deal over there. But they're going up against a tough customer in Columbia who is known for knocking off big teams. They come from that region 5 over in DeKalb. They've seen a lot of teams. They handed Douglas County a loss, who's number one in Class 6A. They only have a couple losses on the season, maybe three losses on the season, and one of them belongs to Columbia. And then Griffin, their only loss of the year came to Columbia. So they battled with these big boys, and they've come away with some good wins. They have a 6'2" forward, Deidre Harris, who does a lot of dirty work inside for them, 12 points, 8 rebounds, almost 3 blocks per game. She really is an anchor for them. And then I touched on Arabian Mountain and Griffin, who Griffin I just mentioned lost to Columbia earlier in the season. Now they're on that opposite side of the bracket, or the bottom side of that bracket, so they won't have to meet either Warner Robins or Columbia or anybody like that unless everything comes to fruition, that couple things break in the Final Four. But we can worry about that later. But that's going to be a tough one. Arabian Mountain, also coming from that region. Region 5 has seen size before. They'll have to neutralize Andija Puckett, a big girl going to Cincinnati for Griffin, who is really everything for them inside. She has 17 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Arabian Mountain's going to have to use a good guard play to try and run and gun with Griffin, but when you have an anchor inside about 6'2", blocking all the shots, it's going to be difficult. But Griffin and Warner Robins are going to have to play very well because they're playing two very good teams from Region 5.
Down to 4A, Columbus, not to be confused with Columbia, is taking on West Hall. That's Columbus versus West Hall.
Now, that is West Hall's guards versus Columbus's size, and that's the telltale sign. It's always a great matchup. Can guards beat big guys? Usually guards get the better hand. Anna McKendry is a prolific scorer. She's a superstar, only a junior over there at West Hall. She's going to probably eclipse 2,000 points in her career. She is a real deal. She's got Macy Passmore with her, Avery Prather with her, three very good guards. Coach Brian Richardson can rely on her. And I was talking to Coach Richardson recently. I asked him, do you have much size to compete with Columbus? You got the big girls. He said, hey, we got a couple 5'10s. I said, man, they're going to have to eat their Wheaties. And he said, yeah, the Wheaties and the Cheerios, because they're going to have their hands full. Tatiana Wyatt, she's 6'3". She plays forward. She can go outside a little bit. She's going to Kentucky. You got 6'4 bruiser. Araya Copeland going to Alabama. So those are two just people that can absolutely dominate the paint, shut things down. Now, again, with the guard play, if West Hall can cut them up and knock down some threes, that can change things. But that's going to be a great matchup. I really love that game. It's going to be contrasting styles. Who gets the better of the other's weakness? Is it going to be Columbus's guards that get exploited by West Hall, or is West Hall's size going to have a hard time slowing the Twin Towers inside for Columbus? So that's a great, great matchup that I'm very interested to see how it unfolds.
Moving it down to 3A, Beach taking on Redan.
Yes, now this is a Beach who's been, you know, spent a lot of time number one in the state. I think they're either number one or they slipped down to number three now, but that is a team that wins a lot of games. Now, it's over in the Savannah area. It's a lot different from Atlanta, but I think Beach is as good as advertised. But they're traveling a long trip. It's going to be, what, 2-3 hours to get to Redan over there in DeKalb County. So that's going to be a long bus ride, and Redan's going to really have to try and make life as difficult as possible on Beach. Now, Redan's got Sidney Brown, Darian Miner, Kerrigan Johnson. They're all going to have to play exceptionally well if they want to hang with Beach. Beach has Judasia Hills inside, a senior, and then a freshman named Madison Evans, who's played very well as the team's second leading scorer. Those are the two key pieces for the Beach Bulldogs. I think Beach is going to have enough to get past Redan, but Redan has those athletes that can match up with Beach, and they're going to play a quick style of play, and they have some good guards to counteract what Beach likes to do. But that's going to be a really good game. Beach and Redan, I really like the Bulldogs, but it's going to be a tough one because Redan has been ranked pretty high in my polls throughout the season. They dropped out a little bit there, but the Raiders are battle-tested. Like I said, that for a lot of these teams that come from good regions, they've seen a lot of good teams. But on the other side, Beach has played Johnson Savannah about four times now, so it should be an interesting outcome.
Keeping it moving down to 2A, where Vidalia is taking on Rabun.
Yes, Rabun County, they're going to host Vidalia. Rabun, very skilled. They like to press. They play quick. They have very good three-point shooters. Great guard plays. The fan of Scott Haley Reeves. She is a little spark plug that gets all over the floor. Georgia Stockton, Lakin Styles. Brooke Henricks is about 5'9", 5'10", can shoot the ball, have size, can rebound, can go inside and outside. Do it all for Rabun. I love that Rabun team. And Vidalia, they're coming from a strong region, too. They're used to big games, playing against Swainsboro, playing against Bryan County. They've seen some good competition, but Rabun's very deep. They have a lot of good girls that can run out there. Like I said, super skilled. They can throw the ball around, whip it around the perimeter, and get open shots, and they can cause havoc with that press defense of theirs. Vidalia's going to have to really handle the ball well and not let Rabun speed them up too much. That's going to be a tough matchup, and especially if Vidalia is going to take another one of these long bus rides to Rabun County. It's quite far away. I expect Rabun County to pack that place out and support their Lady Cats.
Down to the single A's, and this is, I guess, when the real games start. Down to 16 teams like the rest of the classes, but 8 teams are coming off a bye. And in 1A private, Prince Avenue's taking on First Presbyterian Day.
Yeah, so Prince Avenue, they're going to have their hands full, I think. But First Presbyterian Day, they have a nice anchoring side. 6'1", Kate Patterson, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. She does a lot of good things. Now they're coming out of that region 7 that sees a lot of good public schools and private schools. The nice mix. Prince Avenue is coming from Region 8 where it's been dominated on the boys and girls side by Lakey Academy for a couple years now, and no one can ever seem to solve them. So they don't have too many great quality wins under their belt. Now they beat some other pretty competitive teams over there in Region 8. But I really do think this could be an interesting close matchup. Now, Prince Avenue, of course, like I mentioned, they're going to have to try and slow down Kate Patterson inside, but that's a pretty good matchup. And then in 1A public, now this is a star power matchup right here. If you want to go see some talented juniors, this is a great 1A public matchup. Macon County traveling to Troutland. Now, Troutland, that's down south. That's over in that Savannah-ish area. Macon County's going to have to take a nice little bus ride over there as well. But Macon County, they're led by Jasmine Larry. She's a stud from what I'm hearing. Junior guard that can do everything. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals per game. That's called stuff in the stat sheet. And they got a 6'2 junior inside, Erica Skinner, 10 points, just under 13 rebounds, over 2 steals, and 2 blocks a game. I mean, you got a 6'2 girl inside in Class 1A public, that's usually a big-time trump card. Not a lot of people can have a quality size that can block shots and rebound like Macon County does. So I like Macon County. They've been kind of up and down this year, but for the most part, they've been playing very well. And I think they're going to have a great matchup with Troutland. And Troutland, I said they got some firepower of their own. 5'9", junior guard, Leandria Gillis. She averages over 20 points a game, over 10 rebounds, over 3 steals, and almost 5 blocks a game as a guard. She is a big-time player, LeAndrea Gillis. They run the offense through her. She can score in bucket loads, and she can play some great defense, as her stat line tells. So Larry versus Gillis, that is going to be a great head-to-head matchup with two of the best junior guards in the state in that classification. That's going to be a fun one. Look for that one to be high-scoring because they like to get up and down and score some baskets. So Gillis versus Larry, that's a great matchup. It's probably as good as you're going to find in the second round of Class 1A public.
So, Kyle, we just spent the last quarter of an hour talking about all these great matchups that are happening in the second round. So if I told you, send me to the best girls second round matchup in the state of Georgia, where are you sending me?
Where is the best matchup in the second round, are you asking, sir? That sounds like a tough question for me. I really do like that Columbus versus West Hall matchup in that girls game over there in Hall County. That's just an interesting one. We talked about that with the guards of West Hall versus size of Columbus, and we have a lot of players that have been playing in the next round over there. So I would probably say that West Hall versus Columbus game is as good as advertised. And, of course, over there in 6A, Harrison versus Tucker, that's probably going to be just as good with some great guard play. Tucker, their size inside. Harrison with their shooters, Harper, Vic, Option, Jordan, a lot of good pieces there. Those are probably my two games that I would really love to see in person. Harrison at Tucker, and then Columbus at West Hall.
Well, Carl, I think we've hit all 8 classifications of girls basketball in the state of Georgia, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow with the boys.
Perfect, perfect. Yes, everybody, make sure you tune in to sandyspiel.com. Follow me on Twitter at KyleSandy355. I will be taking you guys home through the state championships, and we have that boys podcast coming up, releasing hopefully tomorrow. Same thing. It's going to be some good stuff, and thank you for listening.